الله أكبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد ومن والاه. So those are Ella Collins Institute t-shirts that were given away. Only here, you have to buy them everywhere else. I actually know nothing about recreational drugs or shisha. So, you know, we're going to have to wing it if you don't mind. But before we start, let's just make some salawat. You know, in this large of a gathering, we should make some dhikr. One of the things that we don't do as a community is make dhikr because we think it's bid'ah. How could remembering Allah be a bid'ah? And in fact, you know, Imam An-Nawawi mentions about 64 proofs to make group dhikr, all right? Sisters, don't worry. The ulama said if you make group dhikr in a large enough gathering, you don't have to worry about letting, you know, your voice is down. So I couldn't say hijab. So here we go. Y'all ready? Okay, this Allahumma salli. Allah with me. We have Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad. Y'all. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. وَعَلَىٰ آلِ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ. Don't you feel a little better now? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, really seriously, I don't know anything about recreational drugs. It's been about 20 years since I tried them. Although these trees do bring back strange memories. But what I would be honest with you about is, as you know, I'm from Boston, greatest city in the world after Mecca and Medina and Palestine. And, you know, you like say subhanAllah or something. That's an American version, take it. But as you know, the Boston community has, you know, really exerted a tremendous amount of energy in the last 4.5 weeks. I don't think I've had a day off in 6 weeks. So I'm really tired. I'm gonna be honest with you, we're brothers, we're sisters, you know, I keep it real. I'm not, you know, it's a grunge type imam, you know, on the ground with the folks. So I'm really tired. So I'm gonna keep my talk super short, and then I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna go to sleep somewhere, okay? So forgive me. I might kick it with Abdul Nasser, I'm not gonna lie. But after that, so just forgive me, you know, people coming, salaming me, hugging me, and I'm like, it's just because we're really exhausted. And this week we have to go to the White House again, argue about a policy issue that our community is facing. You know, recreational drugs are important, but when people in the Beltway are talking about passing laws that say American Muslims are a potential security threat to America, we really need to start to understand institution building in a different way. And this is not the place for that. But those are the kind of conversations I like to have. Recreational drugs, this is a conversation you should have with your children. An imam shouldn't have to come and talk about kush and chronic, you know, and getting dank and little kids around here waving these lights. I mean, we all know what that means. You know, that's a conversation that you have with your children. So what it tells me is that if a convention, and I say this with respect, I'm icking it in and out, that if we have to bring imams to talk in a public gathering about recreational drugs, it's not really a good thing. You know, my father, when I was 9 years old, may Allah guide him, set me down in the front room. There was a Cheech and Chong movie on TV. And he said to me, if you use those things, I will kill you. Right? It worked until I turned 14. But there was a conversation. What I want to talk about, though, is just time. You know, honestly, if a believer has an understanding of time and their relationship with Allah and why they're here, and the reason that they're here, these things are very simple to deal with. You know, Imam Suyuti, he was talking about men addicted to porn. Of course, it wasn't the porn that we have today. He was talking about Muslims who are addicted to a form of pornography that existed in the 10th century after Hijri. Yes, they had a type of pornography, albeit not as, you know, explicit as we have now. And he said, you know, a Muslim who falls into these kind of things, it's like shameful. Because a Muslim lives for something higher. You know, a Muslim doesn't have time to do things that take them off Sirat al-Mustaqim. So I'm just gonna hit on that and I'm gonna dip, inshallah. I'm gonna leave, sorry. So number one is, if you want to understand the importance of time, and as students of knowledge, now grab your pens. If you want to understand the importance of time, look at how the Quran talks about time. And you know, in Arabic logic, mantiq, that we studied, you know, overseas and here with some of our older teachers, you know, there's this concept of universals, particulars, types, and parts, right? So it's very rare to find something which its particulars and its whole are mubarak. Usually you'll find the whole that's blessed, but there's parts of that that make up that whole that don't have barakah. For example, humanity. You know, in as a universal, Allah says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَانِ آدَمْ. Allah says human beings have been honored. But then from amongst the human beings are those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designated as not being honorable. For example, people who do evil. So as a whole, yes, umuman, people are considered blessed. But the specifics of that, you find good, you find the bad, you find the ugly. But in time, we find something really awesome, it's unique. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the end of the Quran, He starts to swear by time. And not only does He swear by time, He swears by types of time, parts of time, aspects of time. وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَى. Swears by stars. وَالشَّمْسِ وَالضُّحَاهَا. Swears by the sun, which is part of this time that we live in. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى. Then He swears by the whole day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the morning. وَالْفَجْرِ. Swears by fajr. He swears by the night. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى. He swears by specific nights. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. So here we see the last part of the Quran swearing on aspects of time and particulars or parts of time, like stars, sun, the moon, and so on and so forth. And then towards the end of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by time as a universal. وَالْعَصْرِ. This is عَمْ عَلَى خَاسِ. It's very unique even in usul, that you'll have al-khusus yu'ammam. Usually it's the opposite. Something that's restricted usually comes after a universal. But here, after mentioning different particulars of time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alludes to the importance of time by swearing as it as a universal. And what we understand from that is that time is a ni'mah. And that's why the ulama said, إِنَّ الْوَقْتَ ala. Time is a tool. But how we use that tool is very important. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us different parts of time that are advantageous for use. For example, the five prayers are considered one of the most mubarak parts of time. The last third of the night is considered a time of barakah. The first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, you know, the most beloved days to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then even within our own reality, as people, there are times that we should take advantage of the blessings Allah has given us. And from amongst them, the most important and most blessed is youth. Look in Surah Al-Kahf. This is straight amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Ashab Al-Kahf. أَمْ حَصِبَتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَافِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا. You know, he said, Ashab al-Kahf. Ashab al-Kahf is an alam. As Ibn Malik said, إِسْمٌ يُعِينُ مُسَمَّ مُطْلَقًا عَلَمُهُ كَجَعْفَرٍ وَخِرْنِقًا. If you don't know the Alfiyya, sit with someone like Sheikh Wissam, Sheikh Abdul Nasser, they'll teach you this poem, alhamdulillah, in Arabic grammar, which people should know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a title, people of the cave. For those of us who converted to Islam, we actually felt like the Sahaba. When we first opened the Quran and we read companions of the cave, we're like, who the heck is that? Because it's a title. So it touched us in a way that the Sahaba felt when they heard Ashab al-Kahfi. You know, they were like, man ha'ula? It's called tashwiq al-sami in rhetoric, to grab the attention of the listener, to use some weird title to bring people. Who? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَافِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that there were fitya, youth. Then later on in the same page, إِنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ or إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ. He keeps mentioning youth, 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 youth. He mentions it over and over and over again. This is a principle in Quran and rhetoric called إِظْهَارُ فِي مَقَامْ الْإِضْمَارِ. You need to write that down if you're a serious student. إظهار في مقام الإضمار, which means you keep mentioning the name of someone over and over and over again to highlight their importance. All of us, you know this. How many of you memorize Surah Al-Qadr? How many people here memorize Surah Al-Qadr? Yalla, let's read it. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أنزلناه. Watch, watch. Do you say وما أدراك ما ها ليلة القدر? The next verse, what? Laylatul Qadr. You keep saying it. Laylatul Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, Laylatul Qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never uses the pronoun. He didn't say, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatul qadr, wa ma adraka maha, hiya khayru min alfi shahr. He keeps saying, Laylatul Qadr, Laylatul Qadr. He doesn't say it once. Normally we'd say, you know, indeed we revealed it on the night of power, the night of honor. What will tell you what it is? It is better than a thousand. It is never used. He keeps using the title over and over and over again to tell you, yo B, this night is mad important. Meaning that this night is extremely important. It happens in Surah Al-Qari'ah. Al-Qari'ah ma hiya? Al-Qari'atu ma al-Qari'ah wa ma adraka ma? This is called idhar fi maqam al-idmar. If you learn this, you learn something important in balagha. We shouldn't be here just to cheerlead you. We're not avatars. We're not, oh, the cool convert who speaks Arabic and he's like a gorasab and it's like, oh my God, I feel so good. No, we're your teachers. And if we don't teach you something when we talk to you, Allah will ask us to build literacy of the Quran. That's why I love Sheikh Nu'man and Sheikh Wissam. Always building Quranic literacy, coming back to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, watch, youth, youth, and Surah Al-Kahf, youth, he doesn't say they, because just as Laylatul Qadr is important for you to pay attention to, central in our creed, and just as Surah Al-Qari'ah, Al-Qari'ah, Yawm Al-Qiyamah, is central to our belief, the employment and investment in youth in our community, beyond sloganeering, beyond conferences, real investment is an obligation upon us. And if we really invest our money, how many of our communities have a functional youth director? Nobody complains when they fly Southwest. When we fly Southwest, like this peanut is not really like, is this sea salt or is it Morton's? Because like, I don't really enjoy the peanuts here. Dude, you're on Southwest. What do you expect, caviar? And our communities, our budgets are a joke. The mediocrity that we run politically our communities, the lack of transparency, the lack of women in our communities, there's no women speakers at this conference except a few. We're talking about a common unity that makes a community. But what I love about ICNA is the fact that the youth, you know, their stuff is popping like corn in the cinema. But how many of our Muslim communities have a qualified full-time youth director who's making six figures a year? Six figures a year. Go to the Jewish community, they have four making six figures a year. Go to the Catholics, four making a very good salary. Because we have to think about it, if we want people to be involved in our youth, then we have to make that a viable career option in our community. If everybody's running to be engineers and doctors and lawyers, which are important, but we neglect the career opportunities with our own institutions, we will continue to suffer from institutional malnutrition. We will be anemic to deal with the problems. I remember a community contacted me recently. They said, we heard the speech you gave. We're going to hire a youth director. I said, really, how much are you going to pay him? $24,000. Are you crazy? $24,000, he can work part-time. Then you're going to get a part-time effort. Stevie Wonder didn't like that part-time stuff, man. So you have to invest full-time. So when you ask me what are the greatest remedies for recreational drugs and girls and, you know, I don't know what's out there now, man. You know, Bruno Mars. I don't know what these people are, man. I say this. Go home. Look at the institutions that you have. Make sure that there's institutional transparency. Make sure that the entire community is represented. Enough of the politics, enough of the, you know, in the name of our nation and tribe, we're going to destroy our young people, man. You know, our young people are not losing their dean because of the efforts of others. They're losing the dean because we have failed to act in the right way. And ask yourself about a strategy to bring a charismatic imam. Studies show now that communities that have a charismatic imam who's free to do what he wants to, like Boston, right? Mashallah, you know. I've never had a khutbah in Boston where I finished and there's like a cha-cha sublight. No, I love cha-cha subs. We boys now, cha-cha subs. We can kick it and have some samosas and the whole nine, but not tonight. But where imams are given freedom to teach, where they're not mistreated like some of our sheikhs. They're able to work within the community and the institution is strong and healthy. Studies are showing us now that those are communities where young Muslims are keeping their faith. Number two, communities that have youth directors, people who are dedicated full time to servicing their community. I'm not making this up off the top of my head. It shows that those young Muslims are able to preserve their faith, preserve their identity, and stay away from the fahish. I can stand up here all night long and talk about the qiyas al-jalli on marijuana, and you know the qiyas al-shibha with E. It's not what you want to hear. What we need to leave from this conference is going back and investing in institution building, healthy institutions that really serve our children. In Boston, there's one religious colleague of mine from a different faith. We were talking about annual budgets. Their numbers are smaller than our numbers. And I asked him, what's your yearly budget? And he got shy as I finished. And I said, no, don't worry. It's, you know, we're all struggling, man. We're 501c3s, man. He said, no, I'm shy to tell you because I don't want you to think I'm bragging. I said, nah, come on, man. He said, $22 million a year. That's their budget. Their congregation, smaller than our congregation. The number of affluent people in that community, smaller than our congregation. We have Imam Zaid here now. Zaytuna. Zaytuna is so important to us in the American Muslim community. It's a shame that they have to do fundraisers. We should be donating to them. Andover Newton Theological Seminary in Massachusetts. They started a Hebrew college 7 years ago. Imam Zaid, they don't have a problem about raising money because they understand the importance of building healthy institutions that young American Muslims can move beyond abstractions of theology. This is a key word, abstractions of belief into physical, actual belief and practice. And they gain a sense of belonging to our communities and they gain a sense of izzah from our communities. So, I'm not going to take much of your time. I'm about to pass out, to be honest with you. Need some ginseng or something. Speaking of recreational drugs. But my response to this is, number one, build strong, healthy, vibrant, welcoming, loving, pastoral institutions that will welcome young people of all types to our communities. The sinners, the strugglers, the salihin, the righteous, the engineers, the fuqaha, the sister who's struggling to keep it real. I received a phone call a few weeks ago out of state because they couldn't find a masjid to take a sister who's suicidal. Sheikh Wissam gets these kind of questions all the time. Why is it someone has to call me five states over? They can't find an institution from their state to Massachusetts? So these are all symptoms of a greater reality. The greater reality is that we really have to start doubling our budgets, the amount of money that we donate. Younger generations, my generation, we don't donate to the communities. We don't donate, we're not regular donors. That has to change in order for institutions to be as powerful as they should be and as effective by trusting in Allah, establishing His obedience, and making infaq fi sabilillahi ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect your young people and my children and your children. We have to continue to understand that moving from institutional mediocrity to ihsan institutionally is fard kifaya. It's fard kifaya. Each and every one of us have a responsibility. May Allah bless you. Forgive me if I said anything wrong. I apologize, but you know, we try to keep a little real from Dorchester, Mass. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.